Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, May 29th, and coming up in today's episode. After Congress's hidden and direct jibes, Shashi Tharoor hits back. Rahul Gandhi links Savarkar family to Mahatma Gandhi's killer in a court filing. Asaduddin Owaisi refutes Pakistan's Muslim identity propaganda on foreign visit. And China urges USA to rethink student visa ban. The fault lines between veteran Congress leader Shashi Tharoor and his party are becoming more evident each day, with veiled attacks, sarcastic jibes, and even direct accusations flying between the two ever since he embarked on India's anti-terror global delegation. Speaking in Panama City, Mr. Tharoor said that terrorists targeting India had come to realize there is a price to pay, referring to India's 2016 surgical strike across the line of control and the 2019 Balakot airstrikes. He said, and I quote, "We have gone beyond both the line of control and the international border," and described it as a significant shift from previous military responses. His comments sparked sharp reactions from several Congress leaders. Udit Raj accused Mr. Tharoor of echoing the BJP's talking points, calling him a super spokesperson of the BJP. Senior leaders Pawan Kheda and Jayaram Ramesh also weighed in. Mr. Kheda posted an excerpt from Mr. Tharoor's own book, The Paradoxical Prime Minister, where he had criticized the BJP for politicizing military actions. In the caption of that excerpt, he wrote, "I agree with Dr. Shashi Tharoor." Mr. Tharoor, who is currently leading an Indian delegation as a part of the center's diplomatic outreach following Operation Sindoor and the Pahalgam terror attack, responded on social media saying, and I quote, "Critics and trolls are welcome to distort my views. I genuinely have better things to do." In a detailed post, he clarified that he was referring specifically to retaliatory strikes for terror attacks, not earlier wars. His post included two typos, which some interpreted as a sign of exhaustion, noting he had been traveling and was en route to Bogota. The Congress High Command has reportedly expressed displeasure. A party source has claimed, and I'm quoting, "We are a democratic party, but this time Mr. Tharoor has crossed the Lakshman Rekha. The leadership has signalled that senior members should focus on presenting a unified party stance, especially on sensitive national security issues." Mr. Tharoor's political journey has often diverged from the party line. In 2022, he ran for party president against Mallikarjun Kharge and had previously called for reforms along with other senior party leaders. While he remains a prominent voice in not only the country's politics, his placement within the Congress party seems to have strained a little bit. Mr. Tharoor insists he spoke in a personal capacity and not as a party spokesperson. The Congress, meanwhile, has clarified it did not nominate him to lead the delegation and he was in fact picked by BJP to go abroad. Congress MP Rahul Gandhi, who's also the leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha, has stated in a legal affidavit that Satyaki Savarkar, who has filed a defamation case against him, is related to Nathuram Godse, the man who assassinated Mahatma Gandhi in 1948. The affidavit was submitted to a court in Pune, where Satyaki Savarkar, a descendant of Vinayak Damodar Savarkar, has accused Mr. Gandhi of making defamatory remarks during a speech in London in March of 2023. Mr. Gandhi's statement alleges that Satyaki Savarkar did not disclose his full family background. The affidavit claims that Satyaki's mother, Himani Savarkar, was the daughter of Gopal Godse, who was Nathuram Godse's younger brother. Gopal Godse was convicted in the Gandhi assassination case and served time in prison. Himani Savarkar was known to be a Hindutva activist and was married to Ashok Savarkar, nephew of Vinayak Savarkar. Quote, "The complainant has deliberately concealed his maternal lineage with links, which links him to the family of Nathuram Godse," Mr. Gandhi's affidavit reads, and quote, "Suppression or concealment of material fact from court is a serious issue considered as fraud on the court," unquote. The Congress leader argues that withholding such information compromises the integrity of judicial proceedings. This is a quote from the statement. It is a settled principle in law that if a party does not come to the court with clean hands, they are not entitled to any relief. In his complaint, Satyaki Savarkar identifies himself as the grandson of Narayan Savarkar, Vinayak Savarkar's brother. He has objected to Mr. Gandhi's claim that Savarkar once wrote about beating up a Muslim man, a claim Satyaki denies and describes as fictitious, false and malicious. Mr. Gandhi also reiterated historical facts around the Gandhi's assassination, pointing out that although Vinayak Savarkar was tried as a co-accused, he was acquitted. Quote, Savarkar family and Godse family are in blood relation. When both families have a shared history, it influences how the public views their contribution, reputation and status in the country, unquote, Mr. Gandhi added. The court is currently reviewing the submissions made by both parties. The matter stems from Rahul Gandhi's comments made abroad during the London event. Hyderabad MP and AIMIM Chief Asaduddin Owaisi currently visiting Saudi Arabia as a part of the Indian Parliamentary Delegation, anti-terror delegation, has countered Pakistan's effort to portray the India-Pakistan conflict as a religious issue. Speaking during an interaction in Riyadh, Mr. Owaisi said Pakistan spreads a misleading narrative that India discriminates against Muslims despite having one of the world's largest Muslim populations in the world. Quote, there are 240 million proud Muslims in India, Mr. Owaisi said, and he added, Pakistan tries to present itself to the Arab and Muslim world as the sole representative of Islam in the region. But our scholars are just as, if not more, accomplished. They speak Arabic fluently and they understand their understanding of Islamic theology is unmatched. He also took aim at Pakistan's support for terrorism, claiming that if Islamabad stopped sheltering and supporting terror groups, regional peace would be more attainable. Quote, this false propaganda from Pakistan. They claim India targets them because they are a Muslim country. The truth is, terrorism is the real problem, unquote. Highlighting the recent airstrikes carried out under Operation Sindoor, Mr. Owaisi said, and I'm quoting, 9 of their air bases were targeted. If India had wanted, we could have destroyed them. But this was a warning, a message not to force us into escalation. He said 9 terror group headquarters were hit and added that even the man who led prayers for the terrorists was a US-designated terrorist. Calling for stronger global scrutiny of Pakistan, Mr. Owaisi urged the international community to reinstate Pakistan on the Financial Action Task or FATF grey list. Quote, photographs show a US-linked terrorist shaking hands with Pakistan's Field Marshal, Asim Munir. Terror groups operate freely there. They are trained to incite violence and riots in India. Mr. Owaisi also referenced India's cooperation after the 2008 Mumbai attacks, and I'm quoting, the Manmohan Singh government provided evidence to Pakistan, including the presence of Sajid Mir. Initially, Pakistan claimed he was dead, but during the FATF session in Germany, they admitted he was alive. Eventually, he was sentenced not for terrorism, but for money laundering. He concluded by defending India's legal response to 2611 Mumbai terror attack. Quote, Ajmal Kasab was tried under due process. His interrogation revealed how handlers from Pakistan were directing the attack in real time. They told him to kill as many Indians as possible, promising a place in heaven, unquote. The delegation, of which Mr. Owaisi is a part, includes BJP MPs Baijayant Panda, Nishikant Dubey, Fangnon Konyak, Rekha Sharma, Satnam Singh Sandhu, and former diplomat Harsh Shringla. Their itinerary includes visits to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain and Algeria. China has urged the United States to refrain from disrupting educational and academic exchanges after the USA froze all student visa interviews and appointments at its embassies and consulates across the globe. The suspension announced by the Trump administration a day before comes as U.S. authorities tighten scrutiny over student visa applications from China and Hong Kong especially. According to Washington, the move is a part of a broader effort to reduce immigration and safeguard national security. Responding to the developments and reported by Newsweek, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning said, and I'm quoting, we urge the U.S. to effectively safeguard the legitimate rights and interests of all international students, including Chinese students overseas. China upholds that normal education cooperation and academic exchanges should not be disrupted, unquote. The U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced plans to aggressively revoke visas for Chinese students alleged or who appear to have links with the Chinese Communist Party or those studying in sensitive academic areas. The freeze affects one of the largest international student categories. In fiscal year 2024, according to Newsweek again, over 400,000 student visas were issued, with Chinese nationals accounting for more than 277,000 enrollments, the second highest after India. The policy is expected to impact revenue streams for many American universities, which rely heavily on international tuition fees. Marco Rubio has also proposed a cap on foreign student admissions at institutions such as Harvard, suggesting a limit of 15% of total student population. In the academic year 2023-24, more than 1.1 million international students were enrolled in the U.S., making up nearly 6% of the country's higher education population. Data from the Institute of International Education shows that nearly half of those students came from China and India. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation has previously raised concerns that Chinese nationals could exploit them, the open academic environment on American campuses. Authorities claim this openness could pose risk in fields involving advanced technology and research. In addition to student visa measures, Secretary Rubio also announced a visa restriction on foreign individuals and officials accused of censoring Americans, particularly in relation to U.S. technology companies. He told lawmakers last week that visa is not a right, it is a privilege, revealing that thousands of visas had already been revoked under national interest grounds. That's all for today. You are listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV news app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.